To talk more about this, we're going to bring in our first guest this morning, State Senator Eric Berthel. Eric, good morning.
So listen, I think you're spot on with regard to having served in Hartford. You understand the process clearly.
Yeah.
You know, right now, what Republicans have in Hartford, regardless of whether it's upstairs in the Senate or downstairs in the House, is, you know, we kind of control the clock, if you will. We control time in this short session in particular. You know, if the Democrats decide to, for some reason, bring the toll bill up prior to our last day on May 6th, prior to midnight on May 6th, we have promised them with absolute certainty that we will spend, 36 hours, 48 hours of debate, of time that, we have a finite amount of between now and May 6th. And I think given everything else that we have we've seen, and we're, as you also know, Gary, we are in very much in the committee process with getting bills through public hearings and joint favorable language and not to bore people to death. But, we don't have a bill. We don't have any bills today. Right now on Friday morning, we have no bills that have cleared all of the committee process that we could even go into a session day to go and vote on. Right. So that said, if they bring this toll bill out, they're going to lose a lot of time. We're going to promise them a lot of time to debate it, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so, because this is a really, really egregious bill to just about everyone that I talk to. I do have constituents who say, "Yeah, we need tolls. It's time for it. We have to buckle down and admit that the day is here." I completely disagree with that. There are lots and lots of alternatives that have not been properly and fully vetted out, including the Republican plan. I think that's a great plan, of course, not because I'm a Republican, just because I think it makes sense. It's a smart use of dollars we already have, and it lowers, ultimately lowers the debt expense going forward. But to your point, if we don't do this, and I don't think we will, I do not think we will discuss or vote tolls in before May 6th. When we come back in January, and after all 187 seats have been elected or reelected in the State House and State Senate, if Republicans have not taken control of anything, any majority, I assure anyone who's listening that we will have a new toll bill. And I assure you, Gary, that your words, for better or worse, are prophetic in that this bill will look very different from what we might have voted on this time. It's going to be... it's going to be, I think, a lot nastier and a lot more dangerous, if you will, in terms of our economy and all the things that I've spoken to and my colleagues have spoken to you about as to why we think tolls are really so dangerous for Connecticut right now in terms of what we're living through, our economy and the businesses that we talk to every day and the employees that I talk to every day about. We just can't pile on anymore. We have to find a different way to get to a solution, and that means cutting spending is really what it comes down to, and fixing our unfunded pension liability, and not by looking for more ways to generate revenue and dump more money into it. We have to fix it. We have to go back and take a serious look at what we can really afford, and then plan accordingly, because we can't afford what we have right now. Every year we generate... We generate more revenue every year in Connecticut, and we always have a hole we have to fill.
I completely agree. So I got a couple of questions that pertain to this. You bring up something very, very interesting, because I, too, have my friends and people that I know, and when I was up there for, constituents who they're just not educated on alternative ways to pay for improvements to our transportation infrastructure. They think it's the tolls, and that's the only way to achieve this this much-needed goal. They're not familiar necessarily with the Senate Republicans' plan of Faster CT, Faster Connecticut. They're not familiar with the fact that Connecticut has seen one of the largest rainy day funds at hovering just below $3 billion. Now, when I was there, when I spent my 4 years with you, Eric, and in the legislature, it was usually around a billion and a half to a billion and three quarters. And it, by the way, folks, for those of you listening who are wondering, well, where should it be? I've asked this question many times, and I always get the same answer from different people. They like to keep the rainy day fund at $1.5 billion at minimum. That's like the threshold that they look at where if we can maintain it around there, we're good. $1.5 billion. So we've almost have double that amount at just below $3 billion. So therefore, dipping into the rainy day fund would only take us to right around that $1.5 billion.
That's right.
And that's taking money out of it. So I think a lot of people, a lot of the people who live in our state are not familiar with that. It's not going to ruin the state and put us in a dangerous position financially by tapping into that rainy day fund.
No, you're, Gary, you're exactly right. And what our colleagues on the other side, what the Democrats said about faster CT was, that we were going to take away the safety net for our budget.
Yeah.
Okay, and no, you are exactly right. If I remember correctly, and I don't have it in front of me, but our rainy day, the amount of money that we can actually, the maximum amount of money that we can put into the rainy day fund, is actually controlled by statute. It says we can have no more. It's a certain percentage.
Yeah, it's $3 billion. We had Len Fasano on at one time, and he'll be joining us again next week, by the way, Thursday. And it's $3 billion. Now, if we exceed $3 billion, that overflow would go in other areas. It caps out at $3 billion. So you can't say, well, let's get more than $3 billion, Gary. No, it caps out for the rainy day fund at $3 billion. So,
and Gary, another really salient point here, and I like to remind people of this, and I know Len Fasano does as well, and I know that our colleagues down in the House do this as well, is that the reason why we have so much money in the rainy day fund is in large part because of the budget that was a bipartisan budget that was enacted during the last full budget cycle, now, you know, coming up on a year and a half ago. And because we actually said, hey, we should be planning for a rainy day, and we should be putting properly funding our rainy day fund, that is the reason why. That was a Republican, basically a Republican budget with some modifications that were done. But to your point, and let's just talk about it in very basic terms, because it is very difficult to understand. If we took down to that $1.5 billion threshold that you spoke to that we like to maintain, if we took that using the Faster Connecticut plan, we would then go and essentially we would go and say, hey, let's put a large amount of this money into the requirement for the unfunded pension liability. And then we don't have to borrow money, okay, to go and fund the unfunded pension liability. By not borrowing money, we free up interest expense on our budget. We free up interest expense. And what our plan, and I'm really generalizing this, but what our plan called for was taking that interest expense money, which has been budgeted, right? It's in there. We got to pay it. You can't not pay the bank that loans you money, right? Mm-hmm. Take that money and go and invest it in infrastructure repairs. So you have cut the amount of interest we're paying, which is always a good thing. No one wants to pay more interest on anything, whether it's the state of Connecticut or you, Gary, or me, or anyone else listening. And we take dollars and we reinvest what would have been an interest payment in our roads and our bridges. And it doesn't cost any more money to do that. The money has already been budgeted. It doesn't cost anything. We're not putting a gantry over a bridge in Waterbury or a bridge in Southbury or a bridge in 10 other places in Connecticut asking trucks to pay $10, $12, $15, which I've heard from every single retailer that I deal with. I have a great number of Stop and Shops, and I have Laban's, and I have Adams, and I have Market 32. I have all grocery stores. Every single grocery store owner has said to me, I've been told by the trucking companies, when I get my invoice for that tractor trailer full of lettuce, if that truck paid $28 in tolls, it's going to be right there on the invoice and as part of the expense of delivering that lettuce. And the store owners have said, every single one of them, I'm going to pass it on directly to the consumer.
Every cent.
So if anyone thinks that, oh, it's just truck tolls and the trucks are beating up our roads and they all come from out of state, okay, I don't know that that's really necessarily completely 100% factual, that every truck is coming from out of state that's going to pay a toll and that they're the only ones that beat up our roads or whatever. But I do know that if there's $28 added to one item in a grocery store that has 10,000, 12,000 items in it, and that's going to be passed on, that means, Gary, when you and me and everyone else go to buy a head of lettuce in this simple little example, the cost is going to go up. And if it's 10 cents, 12 cents, or whatever, when you go and you spend $100 on groceries or $50 on groceries or $300 on groceries, it's going to cost more because we've added tolls.
I've got to talk about a couple other things. I want to mention a couple other things before I run out of time. I only have about 2.5 minutes left.
Okay.
No, because you're 100% right, and I wanted you to finish that point because you're 100% accurate on that. But to that point, as far as, you know, how many out-of-state truckers there really are, first of all, the numbers, they're skewing to their advantage. The truth of the matter, and this is when I was there, I don't know, I think my first term you were with me in the House, and then in my second term you moved on to the Senate. And I think this happened in my, I don't know if it was my first or second term, but I remember the former commissioner of the DOT, Jim Redeker, came in into our caucus. He presented, he gave this full PowerPoint presentation, gave us a handout, told us where all these, at the time it was 82 gantries, that was then, again, I want to be very clear. It was a few years ago. It was 82 gantries, and he gave us statistics. And I have not thrown this out. I saved it. And those statistics were, it was 25 to 30% out-of-staters cut through Connecticut. So now the balance of that tells me that 70 to 75% would be people in-state. Well, now all of a sudden we're hearing, well, 40-45% out-of-staters. Boy, that just jumped up 20%. How did that happen? Because it's changing the narrative to fit their advantage.
Exactly. And you know what? It's exactly right. And it's that number that's been skewed, and it's also scaring people about using the rainy day fund and saying that, wow, if the economy tanks, because now, of course, because we have a presidential election and a president that perhaps the Democrats don't like, right, where the economy's going to crash and we're going to just have gloom and doom again. And, yeah, maybe we're ready for a recession. Connecticut never recovered from the last recession. Let's be clear about that because of Democratic policies. But they're scaring people. It's 50% trucks, 40% trucks coming through. You're right. It was about 27%. And the rainy day fund, we're going to empty it out if we do the faster CT Republican plan. Simply not true. And our plan, if anyone looks at it, go to my website or the website of any Republican legislator in Connecticut. You can see all the details. Our plan actually saves Connecticut money.
And
doesn't cost the taxpayer another penny.
Eric, my last question to you is, and it's something I spoke about at the top, where if you think this, the present tolling bill that was just before the legislature, if you think that's bad, you wait till you see how bad it's going to get come 2021 when the election is in their rearview mirror and you got a longer session. In about 60 seconds, do you have any idea of how much worse? Can you let us all know your opinion, of course, on what you think we'll see next year in a toll bill?
Gary, I think that the Democrats, some Democrats are scared to death about voting for a toll bill prior to the election, to your point, because they think they're in jeopardy. So right now, that as you spoke to, no toll bill for this session. Next session, I think anything is on the table. I think we could be back to the plan that former Commissioner Redeker brought forth, 82 tolls, cars, everything. And it's going to be very, very expensive, and it's going to destroy our economy. It's going to destroy our economy. And we'll fight. Listen, we'll fight. We'll fight. We know how to fight. We've been doing it for a lot of years. We'll continue to bring that fight. But it scares me. It scares me as to what it could look like, because there's nothing to lose at that point. Everyone's reelected into 2 years.
That's right.
Democrats that will support that have nothing to lose.
So having said that, maybe we would have been better off voting for this plan then, right?
No, I don't know. I think we have to look at who was talking about supporting that plan today. Okay, and we have to look in those districts where those representatives and senators are and say, we should not return them to Hartford in November in this election.
Oh, Eric, that's the answer I was hoping to hear from you. Amen to that. You are as awesome as ever. I cannot thank you enough for joining. I'm serious, man.
Thanks, Gary.
That was the answer I was hoping to hear from you. Let's just flip it this November, and we won't even have to worry about it at all
next year. That's exactly right.
You have yourself a fantastic weekend. I look forward to having you back on sometime soon.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me. Talk
you got
to you
it.
Soon.